The Best of Times Radio Hour, live on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel, a show dedicated to seniors and boomers in Northwest Louisiana. Here's your host, Gary Kaligas.
Good morning, radio listeners. I'm Gary Kaligas, the publisher of The Best of Times, the only magazine and radio show for mature adults in Northwest Louisiana. Do thank you for tuning in to our show today, and also thanking those who might be listening via the internet at www.710keel.com. Also thanking those who might be listening via the Kiel applications on their Apple or Android devices. We also thank those who might be listening via podcast after the broadcast of this show on Apple Podcast or at the bestoftimesnews.com podcast. We thank AARP Louisiana Neighbors, Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer for being exclusive sponsors of this radio show to provide you with information each and every week that benefits you and your loved ones. In just a few minutes, we're going to learn ways to stay physically strong to maintain the highest level possible of independence as one ages. So stay tuned to learn more details for you and your loved ones. It is Saturday, October the 12th, and we are broadcasting our show from the studios of News Radio 710 Kiel, a Town Square media station here in wonderful Shreveport, Louisiana. However, today's show has been pre-recorded, so we will be unable to accept calling questions and comments from our loyal radio listeners. Be sure to pick up the September-October issue, The Best of Times, at one of our 270 distribution locations. We do thank you for the many compliments about our magazine. We do appreciate hearing from you. Remember, if you're unable to find a printed copy at one of our locations, which is possibly a little bit probability you won't be able to find too many issues. This has been a very popular issue. But you can always go to our fabulous website at www.thebestoftimesnews.com to view both current and past issues, listen to previously broadcast radio shows here on the Best of Times Radio Hour. In addition, you can download the 2024 Silver Pages Senior Resource Directory. Each and every month, The Best of Times sends out a TBT newsletter via e-blast to over 73,000 email addresses of seniors and boomers who reside in Caddo and Bossier parishes. It provides them with links to read our current issue, as well as links to read our Silver Pages, but also includes a lot of additional educational articles that are not found in the printed edition of The Best of Times. You can join the many thousands receiving this free newsletter just by giving us your email address. Visit our website at www.thebestoftimesnews.com to subscribe free to the TBT newsletter. Great news, our friends at Ernest Arlene's has brought back the Best of Times special dinner each and every Thursday from 4:30 p.m. to closing with fabulous meals at highly discounted price, along with entertainment and, of course, free valet parking. It is highly recommended due to the popularity of this Thursday night special to make advance reservations by calling 318-226-1325. Again, 318-226-1325. Make plans to attend the largest Senior Boomer Expo in the state of Louisiana. This will be our 14th annual Senior Day Expo at the Louisiana State Fair on Wednesday, October 30th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Gala Big Top Tent at the main entrance of the Louisiana State Fairgrounds. Admission is free. Parking is free. There'll be a lot of fun, entertainment, hundreds and hundreds of giveaways, many, many door prizes, lots of free health screenings, vaccine administration, and, of course, information from over 120 exhibitors. Attendees can also register to win special grand door prizes valued at over $1,000 each. But you must be present to win any of our door prizes. For more information, pick up the September-October issue of The Best of Times, or you can, of course, visit our popular website at www.thebestoftimesnews.com. We'll be right back with more information, but now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to The Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Kiel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana at Abears, Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel. And now back to The Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Welcome back to our show, The Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana Neighbors, Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. Joining me on my show today is a special guest, is Mr. Greg Richtert.
Rickert.
Rickert. Okay, it's just like it's spelled out. I should say that he's a PT and a DPT with Willis Knighton Health System, or now the new name Willis Knighton Health, to discuss ways to stay physically strong to maintain the highest level of independence as one ages. So thank you, Greg, for joining us today here in the Best of Times.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
So what is a geriatric clinical specialist?
So a geriatric clinical specialist is a type of physical therapist that, of course, they are a physical therapist first and foremost, but this is a specialist in the physical medicine realm that works with adults over the age, at the age of 65 or older. And so we know a little bit more advanced knowledge and clinical skills in that care area. So we're able to provide better care, more customized care to
specialized training to deal with the seniors like myself. That's who's at 65 and older. I'm at 74 now, just to be technically, that you could figure that one out as well.
Oh yes.
So you define an older adult like me as what? How?
So if it's an arbitrary number, they did come up with a 65 years in America. The age of 65 categorizes you as an older adult. But you know, there's different categories that you could look at. So if a senior athlete may not be in their 60s, they could be, you know, if it's a professional sport like Olympics or something, you know, an NFL athletes, they're, you know, when they get to the certain age, they become senior athletes. Not the 65 years, but they're entering their they're not as physically able to perform the sport at that older age than the younger folks coming in.
So, and definitely some of us have chronic conditions, right?
That's true.
And you have to deal with that in doing any kind of exercise programs, et cetera, right?
That's true.
So what happens to the body when we age?
So simply put, some of the decline is related to stiffness in the joints. You know, there's a lot of different systems of the body. The major ones we know and look at in therapy are the musculoskeletal, bone and joint, muscle, bone and joint, and then there's other ones in the internal systems like the cardiopulmonary system. Those can be modified or improved through exercise and certain actions like that. I was going to say this interesting is and it's important that we know more about the older adult because it's one of the fastest growing populations in the worldwide.
True.
You know, the category of age that is growing fastest worldwide is the age of 85 and older. That's the quickest of all of the older adult category.
Wow, I didn't know that. 85 and older now.
Mm-hmm.
The longevity is getting there. Our health is improving in most areas, right? You're saying? So we're having new drugs, we're having new therapies, new procedures that can be done. So healthcare is amazing. Medical technology is always, since I was involved with it in the 1990s, has really changed a lot in 2024.
That's true. I was going to say the one more statistic that was real interesting is they're predicting that by the year 2035, adults aged 65 and older, there will be more of them than there will be children.
Whoa.
At around the year 2035. That's a prediction. It is rapidly growing, so we need to know more about how to take care of someone who's getting older, you know.
So I was seeing some statistics that there's the birth rate has been decreased throughout the world in most places. I mean, it's sad.
That's true.
And that's why they're not keeping up. They're going to have more seniors and boomers out there.
That's true.
Around. And there won't be any younger people to take care of us if we need a caregiver then, right?
That's true. So it's good that we're talking about this.
So optimal aging. I noticed you had that key here. What does that mean?
Well, there's different concepts when it comes to aging, okay? There's we all want to age in a good way or an optimal way. So they define this just to say that it's kind of a specific definition of the capacity to function across many domains, which includes physical, functional, cognitive, emotional, social, and spiritual, to one's satisfaction and in spite of one's medical conditions.
Okay.
So despite the fact that you may have a chronic condition such as diabetes or arthritis, that you should be able to age optimally even with that in place.
You know, even with that place.
Even with that there. So, you know, your aging rate and your aging quality of life should be optimal, you know, despite there being a condition you might have, you know. So it could be heart disease, but or a stroke. But we want to be able to promote optimal aging. And that's how therapists, physical therapists, can intervene that way. We're able to know more individualized care for a patient who's or a person who's in their 60s, to be able to make their treatment more individualized so that way they can achieve the goal of just having a higher quality of life.
So some that could be a little subjective depending on the individual, correct?
That's true.
So, you know, they may come in with an ailment and then ailment and they want to improve themselves, their gait, their walking, their so physical therapists deal with that as well, even though they may be not aged or not, but most of them in that category are in that area.
That's true.
So what is the role of physical activity and exercise in maintaining this optimal aging?
So the CDC, I'll give you another statistic, the American College of Sports Medicine and the Centers for Disease Control both came up with a recommendation of moderate intensity aerobic physical activity. All healthy adults, I should back up and say, all healthy adults should participate in moderate intensity aerobic physical activity for 150 minutes a week.
150 minutes a week.
That could be 30 minutes on 5 days a week. Okay. We'll break that down. You could do more vigorous exercise fewer times a week, maybe two or three times a week. But also to include not just cardiovascular aerobic would be more important to also mention the importance of strength training. Twice a week is what they recommend. So 150 minutes of aerobic exercise and two times a week you are also doing either stretching, flexibility, and strength training.
So is that do we know any about the outcomes? Have we been analyzing this throughout the nation and in our area?
Yes.
So that's the goal, but hopefully are we meeting that particular goal? And I'm sure there are other caveats why people don't do it or modify it.
Right. There is actually only 20%, 20 to 22%, I think I remember reading that of adults age 65 and older that are meeting that requirement. So it's not very common. Less than a quarter of us are meeting that requirement, that base requirement.
So Greg, the other thing I wonder, there's some risk factors involved that will make us, me and others, not do that strenuous exercise as often as we should, right?
Right, that's correct. So the risk factors could be your habits. You know, if you're sedentary, if you spend more time sitting than you do standing, if you don't eat a balanced diet, if you don't get good sleep, if you don't perform some of those basic daily activities like that, you know, the health habits are very modifiable risk factors. Just starting out slow and something simple as just getting up if you're watching TV, you get up every commercial just for a minute or two. It would be a good, quick, easy way to get some physical activity.
At least some walking around and doing some activity.
That's a
great suggestion. Mm-hmm. So it improves the cardiovascular, the nervous system. What happens if somebody has a current disease or ailment? They try to continue. It could exacerbate that.
Exercise, if you're doing it safely, correctly, consistently at the right intensity, you know, you could actually reduce the level of how it impacts your life. So it could actually manage it. It could mitigate it. There is actually some research that the right amount of muscle strengthening could reduce your genetic aging rate. There's some genetic tests that they can do, but this is research level. But the right intensity level could help your chronic condition, could reduce it and control it a little better, especially diabetes. Diabetes and exercise go well together when you're managing. So diet, exercise can both together manage a condition like diabetes.
Quite interesting. Mm-hmm. So I have seniors that, I don't know if it's in our notes here, but mm-hmm. I wanted to ask about it because I've had so many people tell me, you know, I hate to bring up the COVID, but a lot of people had COVID, and a lot of senior citizens like me and others mm-hmm. had it multiple times, taking all the various precautions to get it, but we still get it. And I know of so many people that have that post-COVID scenario that hampers them from exercising as much as they want to.
Correct. That's
have you
true.
Seen that?
I have seen that, and we kind of call that long hauler syndrome. But it's a long-term limitation in your endurance. It just seems to last for a while. And so the American Physical Therapy Association came up with some tests that we could do, and some of these tests could actually be used as interventions. Mm-hmm. So one of the tests for endurance to see if you meet the normal for your age group is the 6-minute walk test. And so it would just, you know, the way the test is set up, you would walk a certain distance at the pace you can achieve for 6 minutes. And you actually, the way we do it in the clinic, we have a 50-foot pathway that we have you walk multiple times, and we see how many times you have done or how much. That's an easy way for us to measure how much you've covered in a 6-minute time frame. And we can look at how well you do compared to other people your age and your gender. See, and there's functional markers for that. Something else that would be good for if you don't have a way of walking, if you're just kind of stuck at the house or don't have a lot of time to walk outside, you could do something called a 2-minute step test where you just step in place for 2 minutes. These are studied and researched, and there are normal numbers that can be compared to adults your age to see I'm meeting the requirements for being an independent ambulator or someone who can get around in the community. Certain cutoff points show that, you know, if I test and I only get a certain number of steps in 2 minutes, that may mean I'm below the average and it may be a motivator to get you a little bit more active. But those are two good ones. There's another one. The YMCA step test is a little more intense. They use a 12-inch box where you step up and down, off and on and off the box for 3 minutes. And there's a cadence, I think, of 96 steps in a minute. So it's pretty
fast.
Pretty intense.
Pretty intense.
We can meet you there, but we could reduce the intensity, the steps you take in a minute, or we could reduce the height of the step to modify it for you to be able to do it. But it's usually easy to do that 6-minute walk or just a two minute stepping in place.
So let's talk about, I hate all these negative things, but I know a lot of individuals out there, including myself, take a lot of medications. I don't say a lot. Medications that occasionally affects our, I hate to say our willingness, but our stamina to keep going and doing exercises, but especially when you change medications. I mean,
that's true.
So isn't that another factor involved?
It is a factor, and one of the things to be aware of when you get older and the conditions sort of pile up. If you have diabetes, you might take medicine to control that. You might take, if you get high blood pressure, you take medicines for that. If you get arthritis, you may take medicines to manage that. Gastrointestinal medicine, you need to be possibly prescribed medicine to manage that. They start to add up. These effects start to combine and have an effect on the system. So a lot of times we'll try to, you want to manage pain during exercise. These medicines start to add up, and there can be additive effects, and there's some adverse reactions if you have too many of those in your system. Like, let's say if you get up quickly from a chair or laying down, you might feel lightheaded or dizzy. You know, that might be an indicator that, you know, your blood pressure may drop several points, that you have a symptom of lightheadedness. That's a danger and might promote you to have a loss of balance or even have an increase in your fall risk. So it's always good to talk with your provider, your health provider, about the medicines you take, and if you notice there's symptoms like the lightheadedness when you get up or weakness, fatigue, dizziness, those kind of things can be noticed whenever you're doing your activities.
I'm glad you brought up blood pressure medicines, because every one of my new ones and then the old ones have big warning: this may cause dizziness. You should not do certain activities because it may increase the dizziness when you do this particular, when you take this particular drug in the morning and in the evening. So, I mean, a lot of people don't even look or read that, but my doctors and nurses always forewarn me, you know, we're putting you on this new medicine. So I said, well, why? And they said to control your blood pressure better than it was done before. New technology, new medicines. Is that right?
That's true. That's true.
Well, hold that thought. We'll be right back with more information. But now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana Neighbors, sending country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. And now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana Neighbors, tending country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. Thank you for listening to our show today. Joining me on my show is a special guest, is Mr. Greg Richter.
Rickert.
Okay, I got to figure that one out. He's a PT with Willis Knighton Health, and he's discussing ways to stay physically strong to maintain the highest level possible of independence as one ages. So thank you again, Greg, for joining us today here on the Best of Times Radio Hour. So it's been quite interesting so far. I know myself, but I know my many listener, loyal listeners out there are learning something as well. So let's talk about physical activity and exercise. So there's differences. I think we all think it's the same, but it's not.
That's true. There are differences. So it's all about intention and your purpose and how you're approaching it. So with physical activity, that's something like just it could be measured in
walking from the car to the
right.
grocery store.
Right.
That would be physical activity.
I'm trying to think of where to start. So physical activity would be something simple as that. Just increasing your physical activity would be taking more steps in your day. Getting up, taking more steps in your day. If you have an activity tracker like a smartwatch, or even if you have your phone in your pocket, it can count your steps. That's one measure of physical activity. If you're taking more steps in the day, you're having more physical activity. Some of these other trackers tell you how many times you stood in the day. You know, if you stand once per hour, there are certain goals. Certain activity trackers have indicators. Another one would be... the difference between activity and exercise, you know, if you start to do exercise, straight, just quote-unquote exercise, there are specific things like stretching, endurance, walking for a length of time. It could be riding a bike. It could be going up and down stairs. Then you have strength training, which is something that's going to challenge your muscles in a way that is going to give it a chance to get tired. You know, it can't be too easy, and that's another way to measure it. So the intention is the difference between physical activity and exercise, and then how to measure the intensity is the next big piece of the puzzle there.
So is there certain tests that we can do now to determine my current level of activity that an individual can, or do you have to go to get an evaluation by a physical therapist?
No, there are definitely some things you can do right now to see how you're doing. And usually what they say to start with is simply take your heart rate at rest before you do anything active. You check your heart rate and you come up with a number. Let's say it's 60 beats a minute. That's your resting heart rate. And then if you do something physical for a few minutes and exert yourself and you feel your breathing rate increase, you might stop and check your heart rate after a few minutes to see if it's gone up. There is a quick, easy way to estimate a maximum heart rate for your age. You take the number 220 and you subtract your age. So if you're 60 years old, you know, 220 minus 60 would give you 160.
Yeah.
You know? So that's 160 would be technically your 100% heart rate maximum. So that would, you know, if you're looking at a graph of how hard you're working, 100%, maybe the ceiling would be 160 beats for that age. But if you are working at 60 to 80%, which is what is considered moderate intensity, you just get a calculator to calculate the percentage that you're working out at. You know, you check your heart rate with that. Simple.
That's simple.
Okay. And then, like, again, there's other tests you could do, like stepping in place. You know, you could see if you could reach your toes. Can you bend down and touch? If you're standing, can you bend down and touch the floor? There's different flexibility tests you can do like that. And most of it is there are you know, physical activity thresholds that determine whether or not you're meeting the independent level for that age group.
So once an individual determines that, then what do you do?
So once you know what your current status is, you may find that you're a little less fit than you should be. There's different websites you can go to see how fit you are. You could look at the American Sports go to the American College of Sports Medicine website. You could go to the CDC website, and you could look at different age groups and see how fit you are compared to others your age. From there, you could start by, of course, you may have heard of something called the couch to 5K. That's a quick, easy way to start a light activity. If you haven't done very much, if you're new to exercise, you could take little bits of activity and spread them out throughout the day, throughout the week, and see if you could keep track of your heart rate as it, as you do these trainings, and see if you improve your endurance that way. If your heart rate is lower at rest, if your workout heart rate is not as high as it was when you first started, that's indicators that it's improving. But then again, if you're taking medicine to regulate your heart rate, that gets a little tricky. Now, but it's okay, because if you look at something that we call a rate of perceived exertion, so you could say 0 to 10. If 10 is the most hard you've ever worked in your life, complete exhaustion, 1 is completely resting, laying in bed, sleeping, you could see how well you are feeling on that scale. Your goal would be between, 3 to 6 probably on that scale, maybe even 6 to 8 if you're going to go more intense. So.
Yes, because it depends on what type of medicine you're taking. It could pull you back, which...
That's true.
It's happened to me a little bit. So I'm telling you that you want to go further, and you want to push it up, and it won't let it go up. It's really amazing. Mm-hmm. We'll talk offline about that one. It's an interesting situation here. So what are the elements of a good exercise prescription? That's an interesting word.
Right.
You prescribe the exercise. Okay.
So there are different prescription principles. So there's different ones. So the concept when a therapist or a trainer is coming up with a program for an individual, they're going to take their goal. They're going to interview them and ask them, what are they looking to achieve? They're going to start with that. And they're going to make sure that they've checked with their healthcare provider to make sure it's safe to start an exercise program. So that's just safety is number one. So the principles, when you put together an exercise program, you want to improve yourself in some way. You want to improve your endurance, your strength, your flexibility. So you have to start with something like the overload principle. You want to give your system, your body systems, a chance to be stressed out a little bit, but not overly stressed that we cause injury, right? So the overload, doing just the right amount of work to cause any change in your systems, to make you grow and get better the next time that you exercise. So overload principle is the first one. Specificity or specific training. So if you want to improve with flexibility, you're going to do flexibility training. If you want to improve balance, you're going to do specific trainings to get better at this. If you have trouble getting out of a chair, part of what your trainer or therapist should do is work on you getting up out of that chair. That's a skill thing too. Functional training, it kind of goes along with getting out of a chair, getting out of bed, standing up for a period of time. You want to practice certain activities like that. You could do stand up and sit down several times in a row. There's a strength, a function test called the chair rise test. You could see how many times you can stand in 30 seconds. There is a cutoff for functional ability, and it's a 15. If you can stand 15 times in 30 seconds, you are at the functional level. So greater than 15 repetitions of standing in 30 seconds would put you at a higher level. The other parts of this would be types of contractions. So if you want to do a regular, let's say it's a bicep curl, you want to curl your arm. That is a concentric or shortening contraction. When you lower the weight, you have what's called an eccentric contraction or a lengthening contraction. So much of our function is involving shortening and lengthening of our muscles. Another one that might be good to know is the isometric contraction, or you may have heard of a plank, mm-hmm. holding a position or going into a partial squat and holding that position. That's important for maintaining balance and posture. As you do these activities, you are improving your motor learning or your skill and your ability to do the action. And then the other parts are frequency, how often you do these, sets, how many repetitions and how many sets of reps you do, and then the duration of each activity. Those are just the basic prescription principles.
Well, that's interesting. I never heard of that concept being analyzed, even though I've gone to a few physical therapists. They didn't go over. Maybe they did. Mm-hmm. Might have missed that lecture. But again, that's quite interesting. So the different types of muscle contractions do the stretching as well. Okay.
Right.
That's why in most exercise routines, you should be stretching, right, before.
That's true. Usually they say not to stretch a cold muscle, you'd want to warm up a few minutes at least. You know, they usually suggest a walk around. Mm-hmm. Most therapists start a patient off warming up the body somehow, a few minutes, 5 to 10 maybe, and then you go into the stretching. Once you've stretched out and gotten more range of motion from a stiff muscle, you can actually do more strengthening and functional training with that new range of motion you just gained from the stretching. So for being able to reach above your head, you know, there's lots of joints in the shoulder to stretch, the shoulder blade, the shoulder itself, improving that mobility so that way you can reach up into a cabinet, grab something that's got some fair weight to it, like a pot or something that is heavy, or a full coffee pot that you want to pour, something like that. That's the end goal. The training, the stretching, and the motor coordination, being able to do something that is functional, like pour water out of a pitcher or step up onto a curb as if you're going into someone's house or going to visit someone. So the end goal for all this exercise training and practice would be able to get you better at doing these movements that you might need to do during the day.
So when you do the analysis of needing exercise, it's the need of the particular patient or person,
it's
right?
Always individualized. We rarely ever blanket recommend just a general program. And now that's what we're kind of talking about today, a general program. But these are concepts to be aware of whenever you're generating or looking at doing something for yourself to stay physical. These are fairly safe, what I'm recommending. But everyone has a different goal. You know, it depends on where you're coming from and your health level. So if you're someone with chronic pain, or if you have a low endurance to start with, or if you have heart failure, for example, there may be a lower level that you're at now. But your goal will just to be able to tolerate standing in line at the store, for example, if you're going shopping, or just being able to do something like that might be something that's more individual to you.
Okay.
As opposed to,
and also if you have a tendency of falling or thinking you're going to fall, to improve your balance and improve your other situations, but not to belittle, but occasionally you have to evaluate. There may be other reasons why that's occurring, right?
That's true.
Medications, ear problems, cochlear issues, et cetera.
Vision
issues that mm-hmm. can, so that you need to evaluate everything.
That's true. And we usually do a movement screen first to see what stands out to us as therapists. So what stands out, what's could be the limiting factor, and if they come in and they're saying, I've been falling a lot, could it be your medicine? Could it be how you see? Do you have good night vision? Do you have night lights or ways of set up your house that it's safe so that way you can get up and go and get around and be safe? We do some balance testing too. A therapist is going to do a very detailed testing routine when you come in for an evaluation and see where you're limited at.
I've been very impressed going to various PTs in my years of on this earth. You've really done a great evaluation. But again, sometimes you get a script from a doctor, you say your orthopedic doctor, you might have had a bulging disc that they send you to PT to,
that's right,
to evaluate that as well as to improve. And I will tell you, it's successful. It works. Mm-hmm. And but a lot of people say, why am I going to a physical therapist when I know what I have a bulging disc, but that those typical stretching exercise and other will definitely cause it to not be exacerbated and actually gets better.
That's true. And we're most of the time we do get patients come in with a diagnosis such as a bulging disc or back pain. There could be a lot of reasons for that, but when the therapist puts together the program, they're looking at flexibility, range of motion, strength, balance, coordination, and how well you perform. So it is a well-rounded, and these programs need to be well-rounded to best benefit the patient's needs.
Okay, hold that thought. We'll be right back with more information. But now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and Hebert, sending country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. And now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears, Tending Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. I'm Gary Kalikas, and I do thank you for taking time to listen to our radio show today. Joining me on my show today as a special guest is Greg Rickert. I almost got it, Greg. with the Willis Knighton Health, and he's discussing ways to stay physically strong to maintain the highest level of independence as one ages. And we've learned a lot so far in these two previous segments, and we're going to learn some more right now. So again, thank you, Greg, for joining us today. Gotcha. I've learned a lot of new things. I'll tell you that. Every time I get a guest here, I learn something new.
I'm glad. That's my goal for being here is to teach.
Right. So at least you know one, but there could be many, many hundreds of thousands out there maybe getting one iota, so you should be very confident that that you're helping people out there.
I hope so.
So in older adults like me and others who are older adults, I love that word, elderly adults, what types of exercises do you suggest?
So we talked earlier about being not just focusing on one area, but it's better to look at all areas if you can. So you may like to, if you've ever exercised before, you may have gravitated towards a certain type, maybe walking if you like that, or if you like yoga or Tai Chi or those are different things. But we'll start with aerobic exercise. For example, aerobics, so that would be just something that gets your heart rate and your breathing rate increased, okay? So from the resting level, you're breathing at a certain rate, your heart rate is a certain rate. When you start to move and be active, your breathing rate and heart rate should increase to accommodate that. You know, the test that we use in therapy is the 6-minute walk test. We could do something as short as a 2-minute walk. You could do something as short as a 400 meter walk. So there's different parts of that. So, it's indicated if you have, if you don't perceive your endurance as being very poor, it's an indication to perform aerobic exercise. You also want to be careful. Safety is really our first concern. We want to have someone exercise safely. But, you know, for someone who has heart rate regulating medicines or on medicines that reduce or control blood pressure, that would be something to kind of watch for to see if you're it's hard to measure your improvement if you're already getting controlled, if your heart rate and your blood pressure being controlled by medicine. But then you just got to use what's called the rate of perceived exertion, or RPE. So if you're at the moderate level, if you feel, you know, sometimes people use the talk test. If you can still talk.
Good point. Yes, okay.
If you can still talk during the exercise, you're doing okay. You're in the safe zone.
So you don't pass out.
Correct.
And that's the important thing, if you can talk. Because my therapist, I can remember that, he was chatting with me toward the end of that, making sure I was okay, and didn't ask me whether I was okay. He was just asking me a simple question. I could figure that out. Okay, he just wants me to chat with him to see if I'm getting enough oxygen, right, and I'm naked and around the endurance.
Right.
So aerobics, and now I wanted to mention, aerobics include like treadmills, right, bicycles.
That's true.
The other, whatever you call those stepping machines that came out with all these contraptions that they have at the gym.
The stair-stepper, elliptical. Now, there's a lot of good research recently that, now that we're mentioning this, I'm glad you did, because the treadmill's great. It's been around a long time. The recumbent bike or the upright bike is good. Something new with elliptical machines. I want to talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
That's a great one. you know, it puts your, if you've ever done one or seen one, it puts your foot through a certain path of motion.
Right.
It's like a fixed path of motion. Most of them are on a fixed path. Some of the new ones do more of the gazelle. If you remember the old gazelle, it's more of a straight knee.
Straight.
But if you're doing the elliptical, there's a lot of research, especially for Parkinson's patients who have stiffness, and they tend to take short, choppy steps. Being on a fixed instrument like a elliptical machine, it puts you through a functional standing range of motion for your feet. So it's great for Parkinson's patients to do a rhythmic stepping through a predetermined path, or that elliptical path. So that's something that's and it's low impact too. It's easy on the joints, and it does put you in an upright standing position. Some would argue that sitting versus standing, you would do more work when you're actually standing up versus pedaling on a bike. But if you've ever pedaled a bike at a good clip, you're doing a lot of good. Rowing machines are great too. Now, a lot of times it hurts a lot for someone who has back problems, shoulder problems. It's hard to do a good, intense rowing session. So you might break it up into different ones. There may be some gyms that have the arm bike where you just do a sitting on this and you do an arm bike. So you could break up these into different pieces of equipment, or you could do all of it on one piece of equipment. But whatever you like, you're getting benefits of just getting active for a certain period of time. Usually they say, like I said earlier, either 20 minutes pretty intensely or 30 minutes with moderate intensity.
And defining intensity, let's say on a treadmill. I know a lot of my friends and mine do the treadmill. Mm-hmm. So a lot of us do 20 or 30 minutes on there, but we don't go 9 miles an hour.
That's true.
We may go 3.5 or 4. That's about the max we can go.
That's true.
To bring up our heart rate to a pretty significant level, correct?
That's right. I was going to say that reminded me about the speed of walking. Now, one of the measures that if you're walking at 3.5 miles an hour, I think it's 3.3 miles per hour. If you walk at that or more, then you are very, very highly functional. That's a good marker. When you get between 1.8 and 3.3 miles per hour, that's still in the functional zone, but you're approaching that less functional or a frail zone. You're a little less robust, I guess, if you're endurance. But your walking speed is another indicator of overall strength and ability level. So
I didn't know that.
You keep that above 2.0 or more would be a good way of staying at that functional level.
Okay. Aquatic exercise. I know a lot of individuals, definitely seniors, are doing more of that lately, right?
Right. Very good on the joints. It gives the lower legs. It's the lower you are in the water, the less body weight you're putting through your joints. So if you're halfway in the water, you're basically putting half of your body weight. If you're chest height in the water, that's most of your body. So you're putting only maybe 25% of your body, 30% of your body on your joints, your body weight. That's really great to do the exercise in the water. It gets you moving. If you have joint problems, arthritis in your legs and your back, you can start by doing exercise in the water. Gets you going. The end goal would be, to get you out on land. When you're doing the exercise in the water, your heart rate could be not. It's not as easy to measure your heart rate in the water. There's a reduction that they do because the pressure of the water against the legs and the vascular system changes the way the heart pumps. So it would be more important for you to use that rate of perceived exertion. If you feel like you're just getting that moderate breathlessness when you're working out, that would be a better way to monitor how well you're doing in the water.
Okay, so then we do strengthening exercises. That's with weights or not weights, right?
Body weight. It could be bands. It could be
bands.
Free weights or machines. I love machines because they are quick and easy. You get on, you change the pin on the weight rack, and you go into the set. Sure. How hard to work out on that depends. Now, if you can get 10 repetitions with a certain weight, that means, and you're tired at the end with maybe one or two reps left, that's the right intensity you want.
Okay, and the other, of course, is stretching exercises, okay?
True.
Sit and reach, so back there's a scratch test, what is
back,
that?
Back scratch test, so if you're assessing somebody, like if a therapist or if you're looking at how well you reach to certain areas, if you want to reach behind you, can you reach the middle of your spine, on each arm? Do you reach about the same spot on your spine with both hands? You could reach above, over your shoulders. You could reach down behind. How high do your thumbs come up your back? With a sit and reach, that's more of the lower extremity flexibility. So if you can sit on, let's say you're sitting on your couch, or it might be hard to get off the floor, on and off the floor. But if you're sitting with your legs out, you could reach down and see if you can grab your toes, or how far are you from your toes. That would be another way to see how well you're doing with your stretching.
Okay.
Stretches should be held with a mild, moderate discomfort for up to a minute at the most, at least 20 seconds at the minimum.
Okay, and the other topic is plyometrics. What does that mean?
Plyometrics. It's actually kind of a combination of power and speed. It could be seen as something like how long it takes you to complete a task. When we test athletes, we see how high they jump or how far they can jump outwards, a long jump. But if for someone who doesn't do any sports, how fast can you get up off the floor? Because it requires speed, power, being able to get up. It's not so much of a jumping motion, which plyometrics you think of jumping or landing, but something like that requires power and speed, like getting up off the floor or a walking speed. So those are ways to kind of see how you're doing with that.
And the last is the balance type of exercise.
Right.
Is that pretty intensive?
It can be. You can measure that the same way. You want to do about the same amount of intensity with balance. Of course, it's not as physically intensive and easier to measure as strengthening or aerobics. But for the balance intensity, you want to make yourself, you kind of want to approach that discomfort level when you're trying to challenge yourself. So for being able to stand up on one leg, let me just tell you, one of the functional markers for independence as an older adult is being able to stand on one leg with your eyes open for at least 10 seconds.
10 seconds.
10 seconds. Okay. Up to 30. Actually, so if you can stand on one leg for 30 seconds, that's pretty tough. Now, if you're standing on hard ground, eyes open, bright lit room for 30 seconds, that's pretty good. You can make it more intense by closing your eyes. You can make it more intense by standing on something soft like a pillow or a foam pad, like a pad you might kneel on when you're doing gardening. You could also hold something in one hand, like a ball or a can of soup or something like that, and then switch hands while your eyes are closed, standing on the foam. So you can really increase the intensity of these types of exercises.
Well, that's an interesting test that I may go home and try.
You know, one more thing about balance is also being able to balance well so you don't fall. Being able to do something functional like shifting your weight to lift a foot off the ground to walk. My favorite is to get a cup or something that's low, like 4 inches or so, turn that cup upside down and tap the top of it, hold it there for a second or two, and then put that foot back on the floor, and then do the same thing with the other foot. Now, to set up the safety of this, you would want yourself to be close to a wall or a chair, something you could hang onto or fall against if you need to. So balance is risky because we don't want to fall, but we want to practice this task without any issues of putting yourself at risk for falls.
Yeah, again, lots of seniors and boomers out there tend to fall and have different major injuries, hip fractures and other type of fractures that are very serious. And we want fall prevention as much as we can.
That's true.
Well, thank you, Greg, for joining us today. You were quite educational for me, as well as I know my many loyal listeners out there. Appreciate you taking the time and effort to come here. If our listeners want to contact you and your Willis Knighton Physical Therapy Department, I don't have the number here. What's the number?
Well, you could ask for me. My name is Greg Rickert. I'm a doctor of physical therapy, and I practice outpatient at the old doctor's hospital. It's the Willis Knighton Rehab Institute Line Avenue. And our clinic number is 318-716-4720.
That's it. Well, thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Everyone, please tell your friends and neighbors to join us next Saturday for another show. Could it benefit them or their loved ones? Don't forget to pick up your personal copy of The Best of Times at one of our 200 locations. May God bless you and your family. God bless America. Have a great day and a great weekend. Thank you again for listening to our show.
Breaking news and trending talk, 710 AM, 1017 FM, KEEL, Shreveport, a Town Square media station.